Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Frankel & Frankel. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call 214-333-3333 or check them out online at frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Do you think that Zeke has 4 years of eligibility left to go back to the University of Texas and be their running back, where he'll probably make more than he does in the NFL?
Whoa. I think he would only have 1 year of eligibility left.
Okay. Still, do you think he'd make more in 1 year on that contract than he will when he signs the new contract? Now, Kevin, you're probably going to try and tell me that it's not done, right?
It's not done.
Just because they haven't signed the contract, it is done. They have a press conference planned for tomorrow. Both sides have already agreed to that.
What time is that press conference?
Tomorrow, dude. Don't worry about that. They have the night off tonight. Jerry is probably whining and dining them down at the Star somewhere right now, or maybe even at a better restaurant.
Why?
So they can celebrate signing a contract and winning a Super Bowl in the future.
Yeah, why not? Jerry's got all the money.
Because the deal's done. Why do you need to wine him and dine him?
Yeah, to celebrate. You celebrate contracts.
You already didn't live up to your contract, and I gave you a new one.
You celebrate contracts.
I'm not going to pay extra money now.
No, what are you talking about, dude? No, Jerry has extra money. What do you don't want to celebrate with your teammates?
No, I'll celebrate when I give you a new contract because you're already playing out your old contract. I understand the necessity to do the contract.
Hold on, so you aren't excited about this at all?
No, I'm excited, but I'm a fan. I'm saying if it was my money that was getting spent that was already more money than I wanted to spend, hell no, I wouldn't be excited.
877-881-1053. Today has been the day you needed as a Cowboys fan when it comes to contracts. And just like last night, we discussed the possibility of Lyle Collins getting $10 million. Actually,
$10 million is what we said.
On yes. the nose. And we That's said we would do it. Colby and I both said we would take Lyle Collins over Byron. Mm-hmm. I still think there's going to be a way we can add Byron back into the mix.
Yes, there is.
I still think there's a way that we can get, somebody said, but what about all the role players? And I said, that's why they're role players, guys. They can be moved.
And if you don't think you can replace the role players with this current group of draft pickers and personnel men, then you don't have any confidence in them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I feel like the Cowboys are perfectly fine re-signing their core superstars who are all well under 30. Your core superstars are sitting here going, hey, man, by the time my contract's done, I'll be 30 years old. And that's when you can say, okay, we can either move on or do these guys still hold up physically?
Somehow, and admittedly, when we were going into this and we were talking about the window and everything, and Kevin, this was a big thing for you, the window was closing because your quarterback was cheap and there was somehow they weren't able to win, you know, with, you know, having a cheap quarterback. How can you do that with having an expensive quarterback? They're looking like they're going to do this because all the key players are going to be put into place.
And I really hope that's the case. It just infuriates me all the more of, like, all the things you could have done with the cheap quarterback. You know, had this method been in place, like, a couple years sooner. But I do agree that if you can get it done, and by the way, if you're sold on Connor Williams, then good news. That means all five of your starting linemen are under contract until 2021.
Mm-hmm.
With the rest of them, with the non-Connor Williams now under contract, I do believe, until at least 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that means if you want, you can conceivably keep your offensive line in place for the next 3 years.
And that's something that I love.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
I love having continuity at that spot specifically. That's very big for me. And I do understand where Jeff's coming from earlier today. He's like, hold on, so you're telling me that you have some of the highest paid offensive linemen and you're about to pay your running back?
Yeah.
Well, you feel like this is the team. And Kevin, here's the thing with the extra money that you have whenever you have a cheap quarterback. if you feel like you are a Cliff Avril away, or if you feel like you are a Charles Haley away, or whatever it is, then you can go buy that player because you have the money, right? Or if you have so many deficiencies on your team, then you can go buy whatever player it is because you have the money. Earl Thomas could have been the purchase. Mm-hmm. You know, that because of what the Cowboys have to do with the young players that they have now, that's why they couldn't purchase Earl Thomas. But in the future, it looks like for the next 5 years, you got Donovan Wilson and Xavier Woods back there, and they're going to do just fine. Plus, you have a pretty elite defense in front of them, too, with some good cornerbacks. So the Cowboys feel as if they've built the right squad, and they don't have to go purchase that guy. They don't have to go buy that one player because they feel like this is the team that can be competitive at that level. Now, the question for us, I think, and we'll still get back to Zeke and Lyle, I think the big question is, can Jason Garrett be the coach that takes those guys to the next place?
We'll find out this year, because if not, then it'll be a new coach next year.
Right.
100% agree with that, because
the
like,
whole team's back.
And that's the thing, is this was the last little bit of an excuse built in, right? Well, I didn't have my best player. Okay, well, if it gets done in the next 16 hours, which it seems inevitable at this point, then what's the excuse left? We talked about it, how you have all, your entire roster is the same except for 11 players. Like, that's a remarkably low amount of turnover in the NFL. Who do you want back? Well, your best defensive backs, they're back. Your best linebackers are back. Your best defensive tackles and defensive linemen are back. Your best offensive linemen are back. Your best wide receivers are back. Your best running backs are back. Your best quarterback is back.
Do you agree with the argument that that team that got to where it was last year will not be any better than this year because it's the same team?
No.
Okay. I heard that on a call-in on Sean and RJ this morning, and it disappointed me.
Okay, well, there's a couple of key differences that I would argue against why they are incapable of being any better. The number one key difference is the first thing that drove everyone insane about last year's team is different. The offensive play callers.
Yes.
And then you have a couple of more versatile, we'll say, weapons in terms of you hope healthy Tavon Austin and Randall Cobb replacing out Allen Hurns, who, with all due respect to Allen Hurns and that horrible way the season ended, gave you a big bag of nothing for most of the season. And if you have improvement from Lyle Collins, from Connor Williams, from Jalen, from Leighton, from Tank, from Gallup. Jordan, from Cheeto, from Gallup, like
Cobb,
all those people I just listed.
Season of Amari.
Is it? Yes. That's another great point. But when we get to that in just 1 second, all those people I listed, possibly, or you would think likely that they improve. Yes?
Lyle Collins, okay, maybe.
Okay, well, the thing with Lyle Collins, I don't want to get into that in terms of his money, is he talked about how having the different offensive line coach has really changed his world.
Okay.
And so that's why I included him in those group. So in terms of that, you don't see a lot of players on the roster. I mean, certainly I think there's argument to be made. Oh, yeah, plus Travis Frederick is back. There's argument to be made that maybe like Tyron Smith slides a little bit. But other than that, like how many players in key roles on this team do you think are primed for a dip in ability?
I don't.
Exactly. Okay. And so then you take those like what, 8 to 10 players we just listed. Corey's astute point about a complete season and a complete offseason with Amari Cooper, and then you change hopefully the fundamental way in which this offense works. I think the idea that this team can't get better is nonsense. Will it get better, of course, is a whole different deal because a lot of things still have to happen. But the idea that it can't get better, bull.
I just had this awful thought.
Oh, my God. No, what are you
but
doing
I was
right
just
now?
Positive.
What are you doing? You can't be awful thought guy, Colby. This is great day for Cowboy fans.
I just had this awful thought because we're talking about how awesome that the players in each position, how set we are, how looking to the future that we are, and the thought of that if Jason Garrett doesn't, you know, make it to the promised land this year, then the thought is that he's no longer the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And my brain said, yeah, because he's out of scapegoats. No, he's not. He's got a rookie offensive coordinator.
Yeah, my only issue with that as a scapegoat is it goes a little something like this. You're the offensive wonder kid, and we gave you the opportunity. You failed. So we brought in a veteran. You failed. So we brought in a rookie. You failed. If they buy that as a scapegoat excuse, which they could, then I don't know what to say. I just kind of throw my hands up and I'm like, okay, so it's Jason Garrett forever.
I'm not saying that they would buy that. I'm wondering if they didn't create that.
I don't think they did, just because of the aforementioned reasons that this is attempt number three for him to get it right. And at that point, I'm just like, well, it's not all the interchanging parts. It's the base that's the issue with this.
All right, so from the 817, if this team doesn't get anywhere, you'll just blame the coach again. You will continue to ignore the elephant in the room, the quarterback. And, guys, I have a very hard – I'm trying to look and figure out a game that Dak lost you last year, or games that Dak has lost you, because I've seen the guy have too many moments where he's won you games. And I'm trying to understand how, if everything else is better, he's going to suffer, or he's going to have – that kind of effect.
Here's the major thing with Dak Prescott, and it's to folks that are used to watching whichever quarterback you want to name, whether it's Troy Aikman, you want to talk about Romo, you want to talk about Brett Favre, you want to talk about Warren Moon, you want to talk about the quarterback that's viewing and watching and throwing the ball and just looks like your prototypical quarterback. I know Tony Romo had his gaffes or his things where he would improvise or whatever, gunslinger moments. But with Dak Prescott, just watching him out there, his mannerisms, his way he throws the ball, the way he gets rid of it, the way sometimes his body's going one direction, his arms going the other direction, and all that, people look at that and just go, that's not what a quarterback is supposed to look like. They don't end up looking at the stats. The only stat that they really worry about when they're talking about how that Dak Prescott isn't a good quarterback is they look at the fumbles. They look at that, and they look at how many times he was sacked, especially with this offensive line. That's the only two things that they could point at.
And a lot of times you'll hear, well, he didn't throw for 225 yards for the third straight game.
And he doesn't fumble anywhere near as much as people seem to think. Take a look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the league.
I think the big thing is there are a lot of quarterbacks that have to carry teams.
Oh, yeah.
This is not that kind of a constructed team. And you have an elite running back. You have an elite, I mean, a top 11 wide receiver. You have top players in multiple spots on this team, and Dak's good enough to carry it. Actually, he's exceptional and good enough to carry whatever slack he needs to pick up. So I think re-signing Ezekiel Elliott, when it goes down, Kevin, when the news is finally broken, when it actually does happen, which it's all done. They've agreed to terms, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
75 and fits you.
When it does happen, I think that's why you'll see the numbers change in Vegas. I think that's why you're already starting to hear so many people saying Super Bowl. I mean, Gil Brandt was already saying Super Bowl even without him because the team's so good. But now having Zeke back, did you see him in the airport? Did the video he was doing? Somebody took a video and they said, "Hey, are you going to be ready for week one?" He said, "Yeah, I've always been ready." And I hope he is, man. I hope he is always been ready, because that's what I was waiting for.
I mean, Marshall Faulk had him throwing up on a beach somewhere, right? That's what we were told was going to happen.
That's not usually what I think in terms of somebody's ready to do something important, but I understand this is probably a different throw up context. I do want to I want to ask this question. And maybe this is something we dive into further tomorrow. I always hear the thing that people say about Dak that I don't understand. Well, without this, well, without that, well, but all those things are here. Do you or do you not believe that Dak Prescott can lead this group to a Super Bowl?
I do.
And if your answer is you do not, I don't understand why. And I would like to hear more from you about that. And maybe that's something that we dive into further, because like the idea that he can't get this team anywhere, he's been the starter for 3 years and they've been in the divisional round two times. Tony Romo, if that's the example you want to use in his first 3 years, well, he still hadn't played any football. But by the time he took the field, his first 3 years, he got to the divisional round once. In his 10 years as a starter, he got to the divisional round three times. All right. So if that is your metric that it has to be Romo or it's not ever going to work, I mean, it didn't work with Romo. Was it his fault? I'm not saying it was his fault. I'm just saying you had what you thought was an inferior team and an awesome quarterback, and it didn't work for you. All right. So now you think you have an inferior quarterback and an awesome team around him. Why not give that a shot? And if your counter is, well, I wish we had an awesome quarterback, great. If you told me we could slide Pat Mahomes into this team, well, okay, well, let's do that. Let me know how that's going to happen, because that's not an option on the table for you. You already tried it the other way and it didn't work. So why not give it more than, I don't know, 2 effing seconds with this guy and see if it works? And you still haven't made that deal yet. If you want to let him play his rookie contract out, I'm fine with that too. Quite frankly, I think that is what they should do.
I would wait. I mean, I think after what just happened with Jared Goff, that if you're CAA, you're sitting there going, okay, we have your two comps. We have your first round picks that you've been better than. You've been better than Wentz. You've been better than Goff. And it's time for you to go ahead and be in a comparative situation contract-wise to those guys. So let's make an agreement. I understand sitting back and waiting and saying, okay, can I get a couple extra $1 million out of it? But it could really screw things up for you. I think it's a good way to handle their business if they want to get one more year out of it and say, go play for it, dude, because the guy has the money when it comes to all the extra endorsements he gets off the field. He's in control of that, dude. He's got Sleep Number. He's got yogurt. He's got Tostitos. He's got Chunky. He's got everything that he needs. So he doesn't need the money right now. It's that the contract that goes along with it at this point. And I think you're right, Kevin. I would do the same thing. And if I'm Dak, I would say, you know what? I'll take the 1 year, the extra year too. Let's see how this thing works out right now. I think the only other option for me at this point, because I'm not getting Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to trade for Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career. I'm not going to trade for anybody. There's no quarterback that's been drafted that I can just go get. The only other option would be Trevor Lawrence. What, in 2 years?
Yeah.
And I got a tank for him, and I don't feel like wasting the prime of a lot of these guys to go wait for another quarterback.
You can go win now, or you can bitch. And maybe you can bitch, and we can still win anyway somehow.
Oh, I don't know how that can happen. Obviously, he's just that bad. Dear God. We don't have to tank because we've got Dak as our quarterback. Dear sweet God, look at this go.
He can roll out of bed and lose games in his sleep.
That's right.
Okay, well,
I mean, if he was sleeping during a game,
there haven't been that many of them.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Masterpiece Theater. We've got a screening on Saturday. Are you going to be there? If not, why not? Plus, why you should be there and the best Stephen King adaptations ever. Next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Bill Dickinson's Group of Dealerships. Did you know that shopping at Dallas Truck World, Southwest Kia, and Mesquite Mitsubishi, you work with a non-commissioned salesperson? So go ahead and check them out today.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagland, Colby Sapp, and Reggie. And we are tracking Zeke right now. Colby snuck.
Is he on his way?
That feels invasive.
We told Colby that whenever he landed, he needed to put a tracker on whatever vehicle he got into. So Colby has been doing that.
Vehicle.
Yeah. What did you do?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. So we don't know exactly what he did. You didn't dart him and make him. Kevin.
Oh, no.
I think Colby may have asked him if this napkin smells like
chloroform.
Chloroform.
That's not okay.
No, I did not use that.
Okay, you
did not use that.
Oh no, this doesn't make me feel any better. We gotta find out more stuff about Zeke. Okay, Kevin, that's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna say 6 for 90 with 47 guaranteed.
Okay, all right, and 6 for 90. 47 guaranteed is what Kevin is saying.
And that means they would rip up the last 2 years of the contract, and that would that would replace it, and that would put him here through age 29.
Perfect.
And that's the end.
Perfect. Let's do it. Let's get it done tonight, Steven. All right.
Steven, also feel free to call us. Hey, sometimes members of the Jones family just call the station up.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I guess you really have to get under their skin the right way.
Oh, and I don't think you can finish this deal tonight.
I don't think you know how to dial a phone.
It's probably too late for you.
Oh, that's a weird. Oh, wow. That's a weird insult. I mean, that's strong.
That phone rings. All right, but I'm right now,
freak out if it does.
Right now, it is time for this.
So it goes down Saturday, 4 p.m. at Studio Movie Grill off of Spring Valley in Dallas. So I will tell you this: tonight is the deadline if you want to sign up to see It Chapter 2 for free. I like that because it's free, but also it's going to be the biggest movie in the country and probably the biggest movie for at least the last month or so. And you got a heavy K&C contingent that's going to be there as well, hanging out. And so what's not to like?
It's what's not to like. There's nothing not to like about that. As far as the movie's concerned,
free movie.
Yes. That's one thing you need to look at. Free movie. Other thing you need to look at with a bunch of tolos. And the last thing you mentioned, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
Ooh. And now I can officially say it's going to be good. Because Rotten Tomatoes says it's at 79%. So that's exciting.
All right. So 79%. Is that a good number? I mean, like, is that for Rotten Tomatoes? Because hate everything.
If you get to 80%, you're certified fresh. So if we can just, this is the first wave of critics. So if we can get the next wave to bump it up just a little bit, then I'll really like it.
All right. And see,
as it stands now, I'll kind of like it.
So, and I don't know how many Tolos know about this. Maybe you're new to the Tolo game. Maybe you're a veteran and just kind of missed out on these things. But the station likes to do movie screenings, mm-hmm. and we do it at Studio Movie Grill. This one's going to be at the one at Spring Valley. That's your home.
That is my home, Studio Movie Grill. They got a cool bar there.
Oh, really? You ever go to that bar?
I didn't say I went to the bar. It looks cool because it used to be like a trashy Lowe's theater. It looks cool. I didn't go up there and order anything, and they're like,
but
yeah.
You walk by, and you're like, this looks cool, and if I drank, I would party at this bar.
Yes.
You might find me partying at that bar, because the wife and I, guess what?
Y'all drink?
We got a sitter.
Oh, nice.
So sitter's going to be watching the kids probably all night, and the station likes to do these movies very often. I don't always get to have the wife there with party night. But she likes to go to Studio Movie Grill and drink and party too. When we get these opportunities, it's a lot of fun. Now here's the thing, with it, I started reading Stephen King novels. It was Mr. Mercedes series was my first intro to it, and I was like, oh, fun detective series with a twist. And then Colby was like, you got to read The Dark Tower.
Yep.
There's a movie coming out, and I was like, all right. First time I've ever done this where I read a book and then watched the movie. It didn't quite live up to what I wanted it to.
No, it didn't.
Then I heard It was coming out, and I read It, and it was fantastic. And you know what? That might have been the one. Colby, you're right about that. The town that you always are like, I don't like the town, but I miss the town.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing about what Stephen King built, that little universe he built there, and he's gone back to it a number of times in other books. The first movie, I watched it with the wife. She loved the movie. She hated the fact that I paused it every 3 seconds to tell her and explain what was happening because I wanted her to make sure she understood. But then I rewatched it again. I was like, holy crap, this was good. This was fun. And it was everything I saw. And how many movies have you read the book to that you were like, that's what I saw when I was reading it?
There is not many. And a lot of Stephen King books, not many at all. And they got really close with the feeling of Derry in this. They got kind of close in the TV movie.
Yeah. Which I still think holds up pretty well.
It wasn't the as far as, you know, reading the book, how it felt more like what it did in the reboot of it, I guess you can call it, in the theaters that, you know, we were watching Chapter 2, hopefully watching it with us coming up this Saturday.
By the way, you have to go to 1053thefan.com to sign up. Do that by tonight. That's the deadline.
Do that now. While you're listening to us talk, go ahead and do that now. Because there are seats available, but they're going to not be there.
Yeah, from the 254, what is the name of the movie? You keep saying it, but you're not telling me the name of the movie.
It Chapter 2.
Yes.
And yeah, 1053thefan.com/contests and register immediately. And you know what? Here's what I'll do. Here's what I'm going to do. I have 3 autographed Derek Holland and Gavin Dawson racquetballs.
I remember that.
I have 3 autographed Derek Holland and Gavin Dawson racquetballs from Fanniversary, where Derek Holland hit Gavin Dawson with the racquetballs. I think they're awesome, dude. I think these are really cool. I was going to save them for charity and auction these things off. But I think I can come up with a way to give these 3 away at the movie showing, Kevin. What do you think about that?
No, yeah. And there's a great story that goes with it all. So I would support that.
All right. So if you can go sign up for it, you have the chance to win 1 of 3. There's 1 of 3, Kevin. That means like most baseball cards are like 1 of 700, right?
1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. This is 1 of 3 items.
So I was curious while we're talking about
Chapter 2 of It. What? Don't ask me what. Oh, they're being okay. I get it.
Uh huh.
Because it's It.
Wait, you get what?
Okay.
Now I'm doing a who's on first kind of deal. So I was curious, since we were kind of hitting on it outside of It, what's the best Stephen King adaptation? Because man, the one I immediately thought of that he does not think is the best is The Shining. So there are some incredible stories about him and Stanley Kubrick with The Shining. Like, they butted heads because Stephen King's like, well, here's how it's supposed to be. And he's like, no, it's my movie, so here's how it's supposed to be. And they kept going back and forth, and Stephen King would yell at him. And so Stanley Kubrick got so tired of listening to him, he even changed the color of the car at the beginning of the movie just as an extra F you to Stephen King.
Christine?
To let you know, no, not that car, that he was going to do the movie however he wanted. And like then later on, Stephen King's like, well, we're going to make a movie that's much better. And it was a TV movie with Brian from Wings.
Uh-huh.
And so definitely doesn't share the same like cachet as the Stanley Kubrick Shining. But he was much happier with that one because he said that abided by his vision of the book and what the movie should have been.
It was more accurate. I mean, I read the book.
Sure. I'm not disputing that. I just thought it was hilarious.
I mean, the Kubrick Shining, it was good. It just didn't do what the book did as far as like putting it put you in a different spot behind a different character. You weren't behind, you know, the kid.
Yeah.
In the book, you were behind the kid throughout most of it. So,
All right, so I've found a list.
All right,
Kevin.
Oh,
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Ah,
mind you, of the top, every single one of his adaptations ranked.
How fresh is the list?
I don't know, man.
Man, probably not that, because there's been a bunch of junk ones out there.
Now, Stand By Me was written specifically for movie, right? Wasn't it like written for a screenplay? That's what. Because he was creating Stand By Me for It.
Right.
He was trying to work on It, and he did Stand By Me at the same time. And that's in Castle Rock, by the way. So that's pretty cool. The number one all-time adaptation is Carrie at 94%.
Ooh, yeah.
Which,
I'm going to laugh at you.
My dad scared the crap out of me. I was watching that with my mom, and my mom had seen it. I had not seen it. I was in like 5th or 6th grade or something. My dad was walking down the hallway and could see in the mirror what I was watching, and he had seen it. And so right at the very end, when that hand comes up out of the ground, he jumped into the room, and I jumped like 4 feet in the air and hit my head on the fan.
That is a really good movie.
Number 2, Shawshank.
Oh, yeah.
That was, yeah.
I never read it, but
it's only number 2. Huh?
As far as movies go, I watched it, and I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I finally saw it this year.
You know what? That's one of those with the watching the movie. I don't think you have to read the book. It's really close and gets all the feels in it.
From the 817, I can't read, so I'd appreciate if y'all could read one book a month by Stephen King.
Out loud on air?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do that. Stand By Me is number three. The Dead Zone is number four. Gerald's Game is number five. Gerald's Game was freaking amazing. They did a great job with that. Misery is six.
Gerald's Game? Is that that?
It's a Netflix movie with Carla Gugino.
Okay.
So the basic idea is Carla Gugino and her husband got to get away. They get into a house by the lake. He handcuffs her to the bed.
Oh, okay.
And has a heart attack on top of her.
Oh, no.
And now she cannot get to this key.
Okay, I was thinking of Ender's Game, crappy Harrison Ford movie. I was like, what?
Misery is number six.
Oh, that's a sweet movie.
Salem's Lot is number seven.
Ooh, that's a good book.
I heard the book's fan. It's his favorite that he's ever written.
It is. It's really good.
1922 is number eight. The Shining is nine. And It is number 10.
It's really interesting that, like, he's made his way back into movie theaters because for a good chunk of, like, the 90s, they were making all kinds of, like, the Langoliers and stuff like that that would... The Stand.
Just weren't good.
Yeah, and they would be like 2-, 3-, 4-night events because some of those books are really long. And so they would have 4-, 6-, 8-hour movie, like TV movies that didn't super work. And then I remember I saw Thinner. That movie sucks. I've watched it at least 3 times. And so like the 90s was kind of rough for him. But so it has been fascinating to see him come back.
Dude,
like
he did Firestarter.
The Drew Barrymore movie?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's Stephen King.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, I didn't love that movie.
I didn't love it either, but I was in a situation where I was in a cornfield once, and I was very scared for my life.
The little blonde-headed kids would come out?
Either The Running Man.
Oh, I could do that.
See, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people understand, but he also did The Green Mile. He wrote that, and... That was just a wonderful movie. I freaking loved that movie. And if you'd have told me that it was horror writer Stephen King that did it, I would have been like, shut your mouth. But that's one of the things. He's a great storyteller, and I'm thinking that this movie is going to be the closing chapter of a fantastic story. Don't be scared. It's not scary. If you're...
Do we want to lie to people?
Were you scared?
Okay, all right.
Maybe it's my fault, too, for knowing when things are supposed to happen.
I'm not scared, but it is a scary movie.
Yeah.
I mean, things happen.
It's a character that if you let your imagination, you're right. If you let your imagination run, that character can scare
the bejesus out of you. And it's not too hard. Like a kid gets terrorized by a clown, and then the adults also get terrorized by that clown.
All the kids in the city get terrorized by the clown.
Like, that's not a hard thing to think about and be like, oh, hell no.
But
I get it.
I look at scary movies like this. It's an action movie to where the hero of the plot not only doesn't really have a chance to win, but really, really, really shouldn't. There shouldn't be a reason why the person the party in that is going to. It's almost like the action movie to where you know everybody's going to die.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just as an aside to this, there is legit Oscar buzz around Bill Hader for best supporting actor.
Bill Hader's fantastic actor.
You know
general.
The eye thing from it.
Yes.
It's not special effects.
Yeah.
He can just do that.
Yeah. And not on top of that, James McAvoy is. I think the dude's fantastic in these kind of roles, and Jessica Chastain's super hot.
I'll tell you one of her movies to look up later.
All right, no, just tell me now.
1053thefan.com if you want
that's
to sign
not a
up
movie.
Tonight a movie. Is the last opportunity. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on the Fan. Coming up next, nobody cares about your fantasy football team. But we do.
We do.
Let's hear how your draft went because nobody else wants to hear it. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.